Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor la kahanim b'nei Aaron, say to the kahanim b'nei Aaron, v'omarta aleim, you should say to them, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, to a dead body they should not defile themselves amongst their people. A double lashon over here. The Mefarshim is, the Medrash asks the question, Emor la kahanim v'omarta. What's the double lashon? The Torah could have just said, Emor la kahanim b'nei Aaron, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. It didn't have to say v'omarta aleim. What is this double lashon? Rashi brings down one chazal, lahazir gedolim al haktanim. It's to warn the adults, to warn the ketanim. That's one pshat. But there's a medrash, the medrash rabba brings down, emor v'amarta shtei amiris, two sayings. Well, yoinim, malochim, she'en yetzahara motzi b'hem. They don't have a yetzahara. Amira achas daya b'hem. It's enough saying it to them one time. Abel tachtainim, but a ben adam of flesh and blood, sheyesh mehem yetzahara, halavai l'shtei amiris yamdu. Halavai that two amiris should be good enough. So Leib Chasman zetzal, he explains, what does that mean? It's a davar yodua that the Balei Musar say that everybody understands that there's a major gap, major distance between someone that knows and someone that doesn't know. Much greater than that distance is the distance between someone that knows and someone that doesn't place it to his heart. To place something into your heart, to become a part of you, is a much more difficult thing. To acquire knowledge is taka gutzach, and it's a kunz. But to be able to take that knowledge and apply it to penetrate the heart, that is a much more difficult task. Why is that? Because the Yetzirah surrounds the heart. The heart is where the taivas are, the heart is where the Yetzirah is, and that is where, that is the kunz, to be able to transfer over the ideas, to pass by the Yetzirah, and to be able to let it penetrate your heart. That's shot in the Medrash over here. Malachim don't have a Yetzirah. By Malachim, one Amira, the idea alone, the knowledge alone of what's true, that is good enough for Malachim. But for a Ben Adam that has the Yetzirah, the flesh and blood, for a person, he has to have constant amiras, he has to constantly speak to himself, talk it into himself. This is what you have to do, and you have to fight against the Yetzirah. This is why Chazal also said, Yahaftas Hashem Alekecha b'chol levavacha. It doesn't say b'chol libcha, it says b'chol levavacha. Two bases, b'shnei yitzrecha. You have to subjugate the Yetzirah to be mishavin himself to the Yetzirah type. But Malachim is good enough with the idea alone. You need one Amira to notify them. But a Ben Adam, one Amira, a second Amira, and a Halavai, you need a lot more than two Amiras. It has to be a constant talking to yourself about what's right and what's wrong. Chofetz Chaim once gave a marshal for this inyan, how a person has to constantly be on guard, and he constantly has to speak to himself about overcoming the Yetzirah. It was a Baal HaGola. You know, he used to make his living from transporting people, transporting merchandise. And there was a wealthy merchant that dealt in glass vessels that needed his merchandise transported to another city. So this Baal HaGola says, I could do it. I'm a professional. It was wintry weather, and the merchant was very worried. He says, you sure you could do it? He said, I'm sure. Listen, I'm a very experienced fellow. You could trust me. So he gives him the job, but he tells him, make sure, you know, I'm going to be riding with you. Make sure you don't fall asleep by the wheel. Make sure you hold on to the reins and you guide them, because this is very, you know, delicate material that you're transporting. And a little bit off the road, and the thing could crash. Don't worry. I've done this before. You have nothing to worry about. Sure enough, you know, they start riding. An hour into the trip, the Baal HaGola was tired, and he starts dozing off. And he dozes weiter, and meanwhile, the merchant is asleep himself, and the Baal HaGola totally dozes off, and he leaves over the malacha to the horses. And guess what happened? The horses, not being guided and not being steered in the proper way, they went off the derrick, the wagon turned over, all the merchandise smashed. So the merchant, he wakes him up, he's screaming at the Baal HaGola, what did you do? I warned you. You know, you have to keep your hands on the reins. What did you do to me? He says, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. He says, I've done this route many, many times. I've fallen asleep many times and the animals got there. I don't know what happened this time. They didn't get there on time. So the Chofetz Chaim, the people think that they let their bodies rule over them. And you know, they make it through one day and the second day and one week and the second week, and the animal carries the person. The animalistic tendencies within the person carry him. And he makes it through. But one time, if he's not careful, he can go totally off the way and totally drive him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that was totally unexpected. Like the Balagol that has to hold on to the reins, we have to hold on to the reins of our guf and our Yetzahara. And the only way that could be done is by constantly speaking once, a second time, a third time, and never stopping. L'nefesh lo yitama ba'amuf. There's a peladik sefer achinuch over here that speaks about the inyan of the tumas haguf, tumas meis. He says, because the kahanim were chosen to do avodas Hashem, it says kedoshim tiyu le'keyem, they have to be holy, they have an elevated status. For this reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amuf, stay away from a dead body. And he explains what the tum of a dead body is. The Odom HaMeis, the Chachamim say, it is by far the most severe tumah that there is. Why is that? Because when the neshama leaves the guf, the neshama is the chelik aloi kamimal, the neshama is the chelik haruchni within the person, and the guf is left by itself, that in and of itself is full of tumah. Because it was the guf that contained the Yetzirah throughout the entire life of the person. It's the guf that tries to be machshel the Adam. It's the guf that gets the person to do aveiros. Memeila, when the neshama leaves it, the guf just goes to pieces and it takes on the complete tumah, because it was a geirim of tumah to the person b'shas ma'is. Be'emes, it would be roy for mesharsim to be merachah completely. The mesharsim Hashem the Kahanim to be merachah completely. The only reason why kohanim, regular kohanim, are permitted to be metamed to the immediate krovim, zok to say for achinuch, is because the Torah's drachel darchei noyam v'chol nesivay zer shalom. The Torah realizes that the kohen, as elevated as he is, of a fart, he's human, and he has feelings and he has emotions, and it would be a terrible tsar for him not to be able to be mishtatev in the Levaya and being metapled with his Kroivim. The middle of the Torah was matured for a Kohen. A Kohen Gadol, on the other hand, he's already on a status all by himself. A Kohen Gadol, he's already on a Madrega where the human emotions and the human feelings don't take him away from Avodas Hashem. He's more part of Olam Haba than he is Olam Hazeh. The Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol used to sit enclosed when he wasn't doing Avodah. He was enclosed all by himself, in the Beis HaMikdash, near the Beis HaMikdash, sitting and learning. He maybe went home for an hour a day for a little period of the time, but he was totally isolated from humanity. He was totally Arangatan and Ruchnius. So he already is on a more elevated Madrega where his feelings don't draw him to be Metapa with the Mesa and leave the Avodas Hashem. A Kain is not yet on that Madrega. Kain Hedi is not expected to be on that Madrega. But Be'etzem, Tumah, the Tumas Mesa, is the worst tumah shayach, because it's the guf that pulls the person away from avodas Hashem. As I zogt the sefer hachinuch, the hagoyin hagadol may ochiv. The kohen gadol by him v'alchol nafshes meis loyobay lo'aviv uli'imoy lo yitama. For his father and mother, he should not become tummy. So I saw a very nice shayach. There's a sefer Gitzei Oira written by Rabbi Goyner of Getzel Fried, Shlita, that I'm zoicha to know, a tremendous, tremendous Goyim. He asks a shayla like this. The Torah says a lav by a Kohen Gadol. It says, Achol Nafshes Meis Loyovet. The Torah says a lav by a regular Kohen Hedyet. He's not allowed to contact with Tumah. So a Kohen Gadol that came in contact with Tumah, is he over only on one lav, or is he over on two lav? Is he over on the lav of a regular kohen plus the lav of a kohen gadol? Because on top of being a kohen, he's a kohen gadol. And he's over on two lavim? Or no? Or no, he's only over on the lav, which is said by a Kohen Gadol. Similarly, if a Kohen Gadol marries a Grusha, a regular Kohen is also not allowed to marry a divorcee. And a Kohen Gadol has a lav of marrying a Grusha. Is he over on two lavin, that of a Kohen plus a Kohen Gadol? Or is he over only on a lav of a Kohen Gadol? So he says, this would depend on a Shaila that both the Or Sameach and the Rogachar, they both clear a Shaila. What is a Kohen Gadol? Is a Kohen Gadol a Kohen Hedyot, plus on top of that he has the extra crown of being a Kohen Gadol? Or is a Kohen Gadol a totally min b'fnei atzmai? It's a new status totally, and he's graduated from the shame of being a regular Kohen. If you learn that he's a Kohen plus a Kohen Gadol, then the same way there's a lav set for a regular Kohen, in addition there's a lav set to a Kohen Gadol. So he's over on two lavin. If on the other hand he's a totally different status of a Kohen Gadol, he's mufka, he's removed from being a regular Kohen, then the lav of Kohen Gadol applies to him, and the lav of a regular Kohen does not. Dor Sameach wants to say that this is totally in a machloikas amirohim between Rebbe and Rebbe Doisen, Yuma daf lamanom and Aleph, the avnate, the strap, the gartel that the Kohen Hedyot wears, there's a machloikas what that avnate is. There's one mandoma that says that it's the very same avnate as the Kohen Gadol wears. It's the very same avnate. And in addition to that, the Kohen Gadol has four extra begadim, which gives him a total of eight. There's another mandoma that says no, that the avnate of the Kohen and the avnate of the Kohen Gadol were two different things. So it'll come out that the Kohen Gadol's garb is different than that of a Kohen. If he wears the same avnate, then he wears the garb of a Kohen Hedyot, plus he has four in addition. If on the other hand his avnate is totally different, so then he's not wearing the clothing of a regular Kohen Hedyot. That would be the machlokes. If you hold that a Kohen Gadol is a Kohen plus a Kohen Gadol, he has both. That he wears the avnate of the Kohen, he has the status of a Kohen. In addition, he's been given four new vestments. And then he'll be over on two lavin. If on the other hand you say that his avnate is totally different, so he's not wearing really the begadim of a regular Kohen, he's different, memela we say he's a total min b'fnei atzmei. That's just an interesting shaila to throw out over there. On the pasuk v'lo yisachalalu Hashem kochi, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, you should not defile my name, my holy name. I should be sanctified amidst the b'nei Yisrael. Ani Hashem mekadishchem, I am Hashem that is mekadish you. Rashi says, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, misor atzmecha, give yourself over, v'kadesh shemi, and sanctify my name. And when you give yourselves over, al kiddush Hashem, don't give yourself over, al manas, I hope Hashem makes an ace, and I'll be saved from it. No, give yourself over, al manas, to die. Because somebody that gives himself over to Hashem with the intention of being saved, that's not called being mekadesh en shemayim chanani mishol v'azariah. They were told specifically by the Navi that if you give yourself over, al kiddush Hashem, Hashem is not going to, he's not going to save you. They said, afal pikein. We want to go, we want to give ourselves over, al kiddush Hashem, and at the end they were taka saved. But don't look at chiddush and say, I'm giving myself over and I hope that Hashem helps me. I sort of wrote down in the B'Shem Chuvis Marambara Baruch, a Rishon, Kabbalah mipi ha-ga'inim, Shemisha Nehrag al kiddush Shmo Yisbarach, someone that's killed al kiddush Hashem, and he has total kavana to give himself over, einoy soivu shum tsar v'yisurim. He does not feel any pain. He's giving himself over to Hashem, feels no pain at all. The Kolboy writes that someone that made up his mind to be mekadesh shem shamayim, he does not taste the time of yisurim. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He switches the person that was about to die, al kiddush Hashem, with the person that was going to kill him, and the killer, the murderer, gets killed, and he gets taken away up to Shemayim. As I state in the Kolboy. As a matter of fact, there's a Nifludike, Rabbeinu Bechaya HaTayra, at the end of Parshas Miketz, that says, a chiddush gadol ad moed, that the Asara Harugei Malchus, they never were killed by their tormentors. As they were about to be killed, it was the tormentor that was killed. He brings down Ruchanina ben Tradia, famous Gemara, Chanina ben Trajan was burnt by the emperor Sulupinus. They had him burnt. He was the emperor. He was switched for Chanina ben Trajan. Lupinus was burnt, and he was taken away. Either he was alive somewhere else, or else he was taken up to Shammai. As I state Rabbeinu B'chai, there's a Mordechai Gemara in the Sechtes Menachos, Daf Chof Tesa Midbeis, famous Gemara, where Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and he went up to Shemayim, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu tying crowns to the Isis. He says, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what's this for? Mima'akev al Yotcha, what's causing you to do this? He said there's going to be a great person that will emerge after many generations, the Akiva ben Yosef Shemai. And he will darshan from every one of these crowns piles and piles of halachas. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, can I see this person? I'd like to see this person's diary. So he projects him into the future, and he hears Rabbi Akiva darshaning. One of the time, and he didn't understand the word. Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand the word of what they were saying. The simple shot is because Moshe Rabbeinu was holding before Matan Torah, so he didn't get take over those halachas yet. He felt terrible. He felt a tremendous chalishas hadas. So he heard a Talmud asking Rabbi Akiva, "How do we know this halacha?" He said, "Halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai." Oh, so he knew that he was going to be passing down this halacha to them. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shloim, you showed me this person's Torah, now show me his scar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll project you into the future. He shows how they're scraping off Rabbi Akiva's flesh and they're selling his flesh in the marketplace. So Moshe Rabbeinu is screaming, Rabbeinu Shloim, Zu Torah, Vizu Schara, this is the Torah of Rabbi Akiva and this is the scar that he gets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtoik, Kach Ola B'machshav. The simple pshat is, this is my machshava, this is my way of thinking. A human being cannot comprehend the thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Taharas HaKadosh on the Sechtes Menachos says in Niflu the Gipshad, based on this Rabbeinu B'chaya, Shtoik, be quiet. Kach Ola B'machshava, this only happened in the mind. Because Rabbi Akiva gave himself over totally in the mind al Kiddush Hashem, but in actuality it never really happened. Because in actuality it was the oppressor that ended up getting killed, and Rabbi Akiva either went up to Shemayim or was taken someplace else, but it didn't actually happen. But that's a Meiridik Kiddush that those that give themselves over b'chol levavam, they don't feel any tzar. They're switched with their tormentors. Pasuk goes on to say, Mayadei Hashem, Asher Tikru Oisam Mikro Yikodesh, Eilahei Mayadei. The Mayadim of Hashem, that you will call them Mikro Yikodesh, these are my Mayadim. So there's a Meridiki Sipurna over here. The Sipurna says the following. Mayadei Hashem, the Mayadim of Hashem, you have to celebrate them. But ultimately, it has to be used for Ruchnias. Ultimately, it has to be used for Liman HaTaira, has to be used for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it's really considered a Yantav. But if you're only going to spend it on Gashmias and forget about Hashem, that's not my Yantav. So the Sipurna touches it into the Pasuk. Mayadei Hashem, those Mayadim of Hashem, Asher Tikru Oisam Mikroi Kodesh, that you will designate them for Kedusha, for holiness, Elohim Mayadei, those are my Yantav. Those are the Yom Tovim that I had designated for Klal Yisrael, and that's the way it was meant to be celebrated. But if you're going to waste it on things that are not Ruchniyazdik, then that's not my Adoy. That's not the purpose of the Yom Tov. The Chofetz Chaim brings down a Chazal, like Nitnu Shabbosis v'Yom Tovim l'Yisrael, Elo k'dei l'asik v'tovim. And the Chofetz Chaim is Moisif, is a Pasuk in Mishlei. In all of your ways, know Hashem. He will straighten out your pathways. He will straighten out your ways. So the Chofetz Chaim explains it like this. If a person works during the week and he has to make parnasa, he has to do it. Partially, he has to do it. He doesn't have time to learn. He has to make parnasa. Fine. What happens Shabbos? Shabbos he's free. Shabbos he could learn. Yontif he could learn. So if he learns on Shabbos and Yontif, then he gets schar for the work because he's preparing himself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate taklus in his life is to serve Hashem. Now, during the week he can't, but when he reaches that taklus on Shabbos, he gets schar for all of the work during the week. It's like a preparation for his ruchnius. But if, on the other hand, he works a whole week and it comes Shabbos and Yom Tov, and he wastes his time, so there's no real taklus, spiritual taklus, for what he does during the week. So that goes down the drain. He doesn't get anything for it. Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal. There was a fellow that bought a piece of property for 20,000 ruble. And then he had a house built on that property for 30,000 ruble. And he planned on renting it out as a meridic investment. He'd rent out the apartments. He'd make himself nice profits. Everything is ready. Land was acquired. The house was built. Everything is set up. And the man, it was like a nichnas by ruach shtus. What? I'm going to deal with tenants now, with complaints. I have to go collect the rent. I have to go haggle with the rent. Forget it. I'd rather leave it empty. So a friend of his comes over and he says, what are you doing? Fool, you're giving up mamish tremendous profits. You can rent out these things for thousands of dollars a month. Not only that. And so he tells him, yeah, but it's a big deal. It's a big hassle to go around collecting and to hassle with them and to hear complaints of anything. I'd rather leave it empty. She says, fool, not only are you giving up the profits, but you invested 20,000 on the land, 30,000 on the house, you're losing that as well. The fellow doesn't listen. He says, that's the pshat. During the week, we invest work. We invest work. The end result is we have ruchnias on Shabbos. We were able to learn Torah. So that makes it worth it, the fact that we invested our physical work during the week. But someone that works during the week and doesn't utilize the opportunity on Shabbos, it's like leaving the apartments empty and not taking the schar. Not only are you not getting the benefits of the Liman HaTorah of Shabbos, but you could have a chapter around the schar for your investments during the week, because that becomes the chelik of Avodas Hashem. And now you're taking away that chelik of Avodas Hashem from the work of during the week. That's shot in the pasuk over here. That's what it says, B'chol drachecha de'eyu. In all of your ways during the week, you could come to recognize Hashem and get schar, as if you're learning. V'hu yiyashu l'chesecha. At the end, if you learn, he will straighten everything out, that this is also a chelik of avodas Hashem. But if you waste your time on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, then all of the hishtaglus of during the week, that went to waste. So somebody showed me a very nice ha'or. It was Svartem Lochem. It's in this week's parasha of Mitzvah Sfiras Ha'Omer. Usvartem Lochem Mimachras HaShabbos. You should count for yourself from the day after, the first day of Pesach, Mi'ayim Yachmas Ha'imat Tanufa. So somebody asked Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal, why is it that when you count the days, so we count at night in the beginning. Tonight we counted the 33rd day of the Omer, we counted in the beginning. And we count, you know, in the beginning, and we count at night, not tomorrow, because we want it to be tmimais. But what about the weeks? The weeks we count at the end of the week. Why don't we count the weeks in the beginning of the week? You know, this is the first week, this is the second. Same way we count, this is the first day. The first day has not gone by yet. You're in the first hour of the day, and you already count the day. And by the weeks, it's not like that. By the weeks, we wait to do the sphere on the weeks at the end of the week. This is what somebody asked for David Soloveitchik. So David Soloveitchik said, a day is considered a day even in the beginning of the day. You've entered the day already, it's a day. A week is not a week until you have 7 days. The word Shavua comes from the word Shiva. The Heftza of the week is not here yet until you have a unit of 7 days. So it's not Shaykh to count the week yet. A day is not dependent on 24 hours. You find in halacha as well. In certain halachas, mixes hayoyim kikule. Tomorrow, why is it mutter to celebrate or take haircuts already in the morning? Right? I should be a full day of avos. Mixes hayoyim kikule. You find lamashal gabi birthdays. You don't need an ace la'ace of 24 hours, a full day to be considered a full year in, you know, to be mashalim the year. A day is a day when it's entered. A week, on the other hand, cannot be called a Shavua until you have a unit of 7. That's why it has to be counted at the end of the week. So I want to finish off with a very nice pshat that I saw. The Inyan of Leket, Shikcha, and Peah. When you harvest the harvest of your lands, You're not allowed to finish off the edge of the field, the corner of the field. Leave it over for the Yoni, let him take it. Leket Shikra and Peya, leave over for the Yoni. Rashi says, Tazer Vesam, Hanach Lefneim V'Yilkitu. You leave it to them and they should pick it. The Ein Lecho L'Sayeya L'Echad Mehem. You're not allowed to help out. You're not allowed to pick it yourself and give it to an Ani. That you're not allowed to do. You have to let them pick it. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Ne'emon L'Shalem Tzchak. So say for my Yoni Achaim, he asks a question, what's wrong? If I pick up the Leket Shikra and Peya and I give it to the Yoni Adrab, I'm helping him. I'm taking away Tircha from him. Instead of him having to go and pick the stuff, I'm picking it for him, I'm gathering it for him, and I'm giving it out to the Yoni. What greater chesed is there than that? Why shouldn't I be allowed to do that? And what is the meaning of Ani Hashem Elikech Nemelakam to give schar for someone that does this? So the Sefer Ma'ani Achaim says that the Torah went into the depth of the thought of a person. Why does a person pick Leket Shikra and Peya to give to the Yoni? Like, why wouldn't he want to leave it for the Yoni? He still wants to feel a certain ownership and a certain control over his field. If he just lets them go into his field and pick it on their own, my field is hefker. That means I'm no longer the Bible. It's totally hefker. At least this way, I still have that control. You know, consciously, you might think you're doing a gevaldige chesed, you're saving the tircha of bending down and gathering everything up. But in the subconscious of a person, there's always that thought, I still want to be in control. I still want to be the one that decides who takes it, and I'm the one that's giving it to you. For that, the Torah tells us, no, that's not the way it should be. Number one, you have to realize you're not a bialim on this. The land is not yours. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem. And there's many mitzvahs that prove this. Shemitah, like a Shikapeya, with all the other mitzvahs regarding the land, just to show us we are not bialim on the land. Second of all, you're making the Ani feel bad. You think you're doing him a chesed. If the Ani thinks he has to come on to you, he doesn't feel free. If you let him pick it, he feels like he's taking it himself. He feels a little bit like a bialim on it. He doesn't have to watch you giving it to him. And you, mitzad yourself, the reason why you're really doing it subconsciously, the Torah's yardel sardaita shaladam, that it's really because you want to be a bialim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know the thoughts of people, and I am Nemon to pay back schar for those that do it l'shem shamayim and leave it over, and those that submit their ownership totally to Hashem and to the Aniyim, I am the one that reads the thoughts of people, and I am the one that gives the schar. I've kind of, that's the limit over here with Leket Shikra and Peya. Aguten Shabbos, everybody. Aguten Shabbos. Aguten Shabbos. Zayitz Gesund. Yeah, Zayitz Gesund. Shabbos. What is your name?
Ackerman.
Yoina Ackerman. Where are you from originally?